You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Let's go early today. Let's get going on this week here. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Good morning to you all. We have Brother Joe, third hour, and then Michael Beatrice, COVID-19 lockdown at 7:07. We got a lot of stuff to cover with Mike, including an amazing rant by Bill Maher on Friday night's show. I put it up on Facebook. Of course, it's a little rough at times, as William always is, but really talks about it's called Give It To Me Straight, Doc, and he talks about the porn purveyors in the media, public health officials, and politicians. Mostly, he actually is very critical of the Democrat Party of how they've basically ruined a lot of people's lives for politics. And he has a great line about Ron DeSantis about, well, look what this man's done. He's opened up his state. He's minimized the harmful effects on other parts of his society, of his community, and he's done a better job saving older people than Andrew Cuomo. You know, then he goes, well, you know why? Oh, I'm sorry, because he can read. So we'll talk about that and other things with Mike at 7:07. And then again, Brother Joe in the third hour. We got lots of stuff to cover today. One of the most bizarre, weird crime headlines I've seen in all the Pliskin Acres archives. We'll go over that before it's all over. We got to talk about, there were protesters downtown, and I'm confused. Maybe you guys can help me on that a little bit. My weekend, Jonathan Hoffman reminded me, I used to do this all the time, was what did you do over the weekend? So let's start with Tom Callahan. Thomas, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What did you do this weekend?
I have no idea.
He was so drunk.
I'm the worst. This weekend was just spent doing a lot of busy work type stuff, and then watching the Golden Knights play because I follow them and cover them for a website that I work for. So
okay,
spent some time watching their games as well.
Did they win?
They did. Okay. They did. They've actually won six in a row.
So if someone wants to read your Golden Knights stuff, where do they find that?
VegasHockeyNow.com.
VegasHockeyNow.com.
Yes.
Okay. Where is the Vegas Knights on human beings watching soccer, hockey? Like, how many people can...
So it's been interesting. They've actually been fighting to open up to more capacity. At first, I think they started at 15%. They're up to 20% in Nevada.
20.
It's still a couple thousand people able to go in. At least they've opened up. There's still places where, you know, places are further behind that. So
the English actually let human beings into soccer games this weekend. They had the semifinals of the FA Cups this weekend. And they were, I think it was like 25% or 30% of Wembley to start off. That's a pretty big step for those kids.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's a huge stadium.
Yep. I know.
So you can social distance till your heart's content in that place.
Well, again, after listening to all what they've been doing on their lockdowns have been almost draconian. So the idea that they're to this point where they're letting anyone walk around a stadium, kind of a big deal for the Brits, you know. So, what was the one fun thing you did? Give me one fun thing. It could be really small.
So for me, this is fun. I don't know if this counts as fun for anybody else, but I got a new laptop.
Look at you.
So, well, new to me,
okay.
Laptop, but, I love technology and gadgets and stuff like that. It is actually replacing my old desktop computer, which is a little long in the tooth. And so I said, you know what? I think it's time. So I made the shift over. And to me, that's just fun. I love setting it up and checking it out. The other thing I did was I sat down and watched an old, I didn't realize how old this was. It came out in 95, but a movie called Heavyweights.
Tell me more.
It's about a bunch of 12-year-old kids who go to fat camp. And hilarity ensues.
All right.
And Ben Stiller plays the villain who takes over the fat camp from Jerry Stiller and his wife and just puts the kids through hell. And you know,
I barely remember this play.
Was way funnier than I thought it would be.
Is this the forerunner to Ben Stiller's Dwight Goodman from dodgeball?
You know, it's weird because I said, geez, Ben Stiller has an interesting preoccupation with playing like healthy versus overweight characters.
Joni loves Chachi.
Like it kind of, yeah, you're right. The White Goodman and Dodgeball, and I forget the name of the character in this movie, but it's just, yeah, it's kind of like weird pattern.
All right. Very cool.
So,
all right.
If anybody's, it's PG. You can watch it with the kids.
Ah, beautiful. Friday, I did the D&D night, of course. Saturday was my buddy plays in a band called Riot Dogs, and up in Catalina at the Catalina Craft Pizza, which is next to my fabulous It's a Greek to Me. And Catalina Craft Pizza has gotten a lot better over the last couple of months because there's a new owner. The previous stuff was ugh. And Tony's doing a good job on the wings and the pizza. So I give him a revisit if you were turned off by the previous owners. I think Tony's trying to do the best thing possible up there. Anyway, outdoor concert, and me and the missus just sat out there. It was so beautiful Saturday night. And they were doing covers of a variety of rock tunes from a variety of different subgenres of rock, but it was good. Very good. They had a new guitarist who was so cute. He was a young guy, and his mom and dad and his family was there. So they're like, yay!
Nice.
It was like when everyone goes to see the kid play soccer.
Right.
It was watching Carlos play guitar. Nice. It was really fun. That's funny. We did that. And then yesterday the weather was so awesome between the wind, the clouds. Looked like it was going to rain. It was raining up in Phoenix. My buddy in North Phoenix said it rained on him a decent amount yesterday. But I got this, you know, as everyone knows, I'm a big America's Test Kitchen guy, and I didn't even know they did this. I was going through Cramazon, and I found that they have a complete slow cooker cookbook, and so I was like, well, I got to make something out of this. So I made an amazing chicken curry on a slow cooker yesterday with chicken thighs. It was bellissimo. Awesome. Love it. So anyway, it's the best. I probably bought it for, I don't know, $15. If you're a slow cooker person, just go get it. America's Test Kitchen, complete slow cooker. It'll change your life.
Wow.
That's how good it was. So that's what we did. That was my weekend. Not totally amazing. Got a lot clean. I did fun stuff like clean garages. You know,
I bought plants.
Yeah.
That's a weekend activity, you know?
I got my herb stuff going. I got my parsley, my basil, my mint going. I got my starting to do tomatoes and strawberries right now. So we'll see how all that comes out before it's all over. There's one from the mailbag I just want to get. It was kind of cute. It was from Kurt, and it was called Wow. It's called, I very much enjoyed Friday's Van Buren picks the 10 best Christopher Walken movies. Walken's a cultural icon in a strangely everyman kind of way. He says Christopher Walken, that is. He said him. Nevertheless, for the Wakeys, Van Buren has become a cultural icon too. Kudos to you for recognizing his latent talent and making him part of the show. So he says, and then he sends me this. It's an Instagram post from Eric Metaxas about Walken. And basically sitting with his dog or something like that. So anyway, I sent it over to Mark. I'm sure he'll get a big kick out of it. We love having him. And what's amazing is with the walk-in ones is everyone's got their – it happens, but, you know, certain people like Peter want to keep talking about let's get Joe Dirt in there and stuff like that. And I said, well, when we have a top 30, maybe Joe Dirt will get into the top 30 Christopher Walken movies. So – Peter also has a problem. He likes that movie Ice Pirates, which is also trash. So, 6:15 in the morning, Christy Simone. Tom's like, I didn't think I was going to hear about Ice Pirates this morning.
I did not.
And you do not want to again. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 the voice. Beautiful, beautiful. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 the voice, local news and talk. So we have this, of course, the Derek Chauvin trial going on in Minnesota right now. And, of course, in Tucson, we're going to get to Maxine Waters and her shooting her mouth off and how what is good for the goose ain't good for the gander in this country. But we'll get to that in a second. What I want to know is, so I'm going through K-Gun 9, I believe. Yeah, it was K-Gun 9. And so I guess there was a protest. This is by a variety of folks. What I don't understand, so part of it is it says that they were protests because of the young man Dante Wright, who was killed by the police officer who said she thought she was using her taser, but then she shot him. But then the headline says protesters gather in downtown Tucson to march against Tucson police and Chief Magnus. So then I go to a friend of mine who sends me the, this is the hashtag the curse sent me this. And this is from the Facebook page. Rest in power, Dante Wright. Solidarity with freedom fighters in Minnesota. Police violence is never an accident. Which is actually wrong. Bring water, bring friends, cover your face. Against Magnus, against TPD. I thought you guys liked Magnus. This is what I'm confused. I mean, this guy railroaded three officers on the naked coked up guy. I know you guys rely on Tim Steller and Jim Nensel to give you your news, which is the problem. But why is this again? I don't get it. Why against Magnus? If there's a guy who would agree with, I mean, there's a guy who's probably cheering for the conviction of Derek Chauvin, isn't it Magnus? So I guess the part that I'm confused at is it that, are you guys just that ignorant? I feel like that's what it's about. I know it's tough. So you guys got to help me on this. Why is it against Magnus? What am I missing against Magnus? I mean, he gave you what you wanted. You didn't even know what you wanted. I mean, your queen bee, the mayor, loves Magnus. Joe Biden's going to have him ruin Customs and Border Patrol for you guys. What am I missing? So let's get to the lovely Maxine Waters. So she says she's in Minnesota because, of course, you know, this is where California congresswomen need to hang out with. What do we got here? Quote, we're looking for a guilty verdict. And we're looking to see if all the talk that took place has been taking place after what they saw what happened to George Floyd. If nothing does happen, then we know we not only have to stay in the street, but we have to fight for justice. I am very hopeful, and I hope we're going to get a verdict that says guilty, guilty, guilty. If we don't, we cannot go away. Asked in a follow-up question what protesters should do if Chauvin is not convicted of murder, she said, we've got to stay on the street. We've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure they know we mean business. So how is this different? So Trump said on January 6th, they had the rally, and he, if you listen to what he said, go just, you know, peacefully walk over to the Congress and let them hear your voice kind of thing, right? And then whatever happened. Okay? So what I want to know is, and this is what I love, is when a sitting U.S. Congresswoman in a place that's already a tinderbox like Minneapolis, run by Democrats, okay, says we have to get more confrontational. Why isn't it folks on the left saying, well, what are we doing? Is this not? It's just because there's something we believe is so important from our point of view that it's okay for an elected official to call for more violence? This is what I don't get. Because it's obviously she's inciting riots. So anyone who dies as part of the madness of if Derek Chauvin gets acquitted, she doesn't care? She doesn't care about guys like Dave Dorn who were killed by Black Lives Matter people in St. Louis, who is a black person himself who served his community as a police captain. Is that where we're at? And the idea that, of course, the leftist media isn't going to cover this at all. Shouldn't they be out there? Shouldn't I be hearing? I guess my thing is that I know I'm just playing devil's advocate. I know it's not going to happen from the people at CNN or MSNBC. But this is where we're at in the world. And the Republican Party and anyone who wants to change seats of power have to keep remembering this. And you should be asking, right, if you're in the media, you should be asking, what do you think about Maxine Waters saying that? Are you cool with that? Because how many more, if Chauvin gets acquitted and we get the repeat of killings, burning down crap and ruining people's businesses, why Maxine Waters gets a free pass? And that is a sick place to be in this world. And for all of these folks that want to keep, say they honor Dr. King and his message and his birthday being a national holiday, which I have no problems with, you know something? This is, of course, something he would have never, ever said you should do. You should never go out. He would never say go out there. He actually has a great line about there shouldn't be any supremacy. There shouldn't be white supremacy and there shouldn't be black supremacy. So get over it. You're all supposed to be brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we try to figure this out, and all souls matter. But I'm just telling you, when you see Maxine Waters say, remember, she's the one who said, we got to get in the face of Trump officials while they're out having dinner and things like that. Remember that? I mean, she's a crankly human being who wants confrontation. And I'm sure she was the first one out there to say, well, whatever happened on January 6th, Trump's fault, he incited a riot. Well, why is this different? Oh, she's a Democrat. Is that where we're at? Because Democrats can say this, but and it's okay. It's a sick place to be. And then my favorite or my least favorite story related to this, I was telling Tom before the break, before we started the show, drinking this amazing filthy pirate coffee. So vandals smeared a home in Santa Rosa, California with pig blood on Saturday because the defense witness of Derek Chauvin, Barry Broad, a use of force expert, testified that Chauvin did not act unreasonably when he applied his knee to the handcuff Floyd. Broad used to be a police officer in Santa Rosa for 22 years. He's now a consultant who specializes in use of force tactics. So anyway, they went to Barry Broad's house to smear it with pig blood because how dare he do this thing? And of course, the sad part is Barry doesn't live in the house anymore. So, hey, folks out there, make sure if you're going to go be a bunch of jackasses, could you at least be jackasses on the right house? So, wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. It's Patriots Day. It's the, of course, celebrating the first start of the American Revolution, Battle of Lexington and a couple others. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Sounds so good in the Christy Simone $18 skull candies. Real nice. When life gives you lemon, make Robert Plant. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Christopher D. Simone and you. If you miss anything, kvy.com. Go to dsimonehq.com. You can see, go to Chris's favorites. There's a list of 35 kick-ass local restaurants that you can be enjoying right now instead of eating adult McDonald's at Chili's or one of those places. So in the one of the more weirder Pliskin Acre stories, this one, this is one of those headlines. Man, this is some KVOA. This is from David Skinner and Danelle Confair. Man in wheelchair sets car on fire at gas station. A man in a wheelchair attempted to light multiple cars on fire at the QT on First and Glen. Only one car was actually set on fire. One witness inside the gas station during the incident said she saw the man take out the gas nozzle and start pouring it on the other vehicles. News 4 spoke to the man whose car caught on fire. I was pulling away, not realizing was on... Wow! Tom Nickel. He pulled away, not realizing his car was on fire. I didn't see it from the front. So I pulled away, and everyone was yelling at me to get your car out. Get out of your car. Get out of your car. I had no idea what they were saying or why. So you got an update for me on the...
I don't know if it's much of an update, but they said he's been detained. Obviously, the guy's under arrest, but why is going to be my question.
Very rare. I mean, I'm sure he's got issues. This young man.
He's got a subscription,
right? But I'm telling you, listening to Tom Nickel talk about driving out of the That's Plissken Acres right there, if you think about it. The dude, it's not just the fact that the guy in the wheelchair lighting cars on fire. It's the idea that Mr. Nickel started driving with the car on fire. I mean, think about it. If you want to talk about Snake Plissken escape from New York kind of crap, right? And he's running, I forget was there a name for the bad guys in like the gang? Let's just call them the warlords, okay? Whatever the bad gang guys, okay? If Snake Plissken was going to run them over with an old car, it better have been on fire. That's the part. That's what I thought about. Oh, this is Plissken Acres. Now, in New York, whenever we'd take the Jersey Turnpike to visit my uncle who lived on a little more southern New Jersey, for some reason on the Jersey Turnpike, it was one of the worst freeways in the history of America, there was always at least one car on the side of the road, not moving, but on fire. For some reason, there was always something blowing up on the Jersey Turnpike. And it's funny, I was telling that to my cousin Dave one time years ago, and then he calls me. It's very weird. He usually doesn't call me like on a holiday. He's one of those guys who does the three Christmas visits. You know, he goes to his one place on Christmas Eve, first thing in the morning the next day, and then afternoon someplace else. And he literally calls me up on Christmas morning. After I just saw him a couple of months before, he goes, "All right, I just got to tell you, car on the side of the road on fire on the Jersey Turnpike." I'm like, "Thank you, the Garden State." Now, let's keep going. Over on Towner Street and Bermuda, roughly, I think it's Columbus and Grant. Again, the fabulous Glen Corridor. We got this is from KOLD. I'm sure you covered this one. This is a multi-agency Midtown story. Started with Marana PD. They said that Mark Allen Barnes, 49, was arrested for an unrelated felony warrant for dangerous drug possession. But they have two homes that are next to each other. They share a backyard. And they said, first of all, they found multiple stolen motorcycles. We have the police. I haven't seen this one in a while. The police are digging in the backyards on whatever they got buried there. They would not confirm if they're looking for drugs, remains, or weapons. But just say, I like this one. Here's a great quote. Just saying the investigation is criminal in nature. I think, as Buford T. Justice would say, no crap, Junior. You got a name for our gang?
It's the National Liberation Front.
Isn't that weren't they just marching through Tucson on Friday?
Yeah. The other weird thing is, I didn't realize in Escape from New York, the president is named Romero.
What?
Yeah, President Romero.
Donald Pleasance is playing a dude named Romero?
Mm.
That's like calling you Romero.
That's like Sean Connery. Never mind, I'm not going to go.
Playing there. Ramirez in...
yes.
In Highlander? Spanish peacock?
You must leave her, brother.
I think you need to play some Highlander. At least, you know, either... play Don't Lose Your Head. That'll be good.
Okay.
It'll get us going on a Monday morning. So anyway, we have Border Patrol, ATF, Marana PD, TPD, and Oro Valley PD are all assisting in this investigation. I mean, that is something else. That is holy crap. So the Acres, you have not failed to make it happen. Between the man in the wheelchair setting the car on fire, driving away on fire, running over the National Liberation Front guys, and then a multi-agency archaeological dig in a backyard, kudos to you, Tucson. It's like that, I feel like I want to say that, oh, Magoo, you've done it again, as Mr. Magoo would say. Let's keep going with the crime report. We have, this is Fox 10 in Phoenix. We have DPS found a group of undocumented immigrants during a traffic stop on I-10 in Chandler. 17 immigrants riding inside a van near I-10 and Ray Road, right near a Great Grimaldi's over there. The trooper issued traffic violations. Of course... So this is something the governor's office sent out this story, because there were 17 illegal immigrants inside the car. The trooper gave traffic violations to the driver, who was a U.S. citizen and impounded the vehicles. But then they just let the undocumented immigrants go because ICE and Border Patrol declined to take custody of them. So this is where you're at right now in the world of a lack or something of U.S. sovereignty going on in your country. What was the other one I had for you today about this whole thing? No, that's the pig blood one. Got that. We'll get to that in a second. It's the... has to do with the... Oh, this is the Texas facility for migrant girls closed amid crowding concerns and a worker's death. 450 unaccompanied teen migrant girls relocated from a Houston housing facility, and they haven't offered, officials have not offered much information about the closure. Tim Steller, I know you keep writing, there's nothing going on at the border. Again, I'm going to have to Photoshop Tim Steller's head on either two people. Of course, there's Leslie Nielsen. Well, there's three people. Leslie Nielsen in the Naked Gun. Right when the missile goes into the fireworks factory and blows up behind him, and he says, "Please disperse. There's nothing to see here." It could be the Kevin Bacon ROTC character at the during the animal house parade at the end, right? Or it's who is it? Oh, Baghdad Bob. I know we haven't talked about Baghdad Bob in a while. Now, if you remember, he was the Minister of Information for Saddam Hussein's government. And he was the guy, as the TV studio was shaking from shelling from U.S. forces, he said the Americans are not in Baghdad. I don't know if everyone remembers that. So Tim Steller is either Leslie Nielsen, Kevin Bacon, or I think I will probably Photoshop Tim on Leslie Nielsen without that. I'll use the one where Tim's wearing that stupid hat that he wears, but we'll do that because when all of these stories about, so let's get to this. So we know that these shelters are at over capacity. Okay. We know we're building a Joe Arpaio tent city south of Tucson on Los Reales. They said an immigration advocate claimed that it was due to an incident that took place there on Friday. The advocate says ambulances and law enforcement vehicles were spotted outside the building near Bush Intercontinental Airport. And cited information he reportedly received from an employee. There's confusion about what's going on. The people that were there looked like they were in a sad stance, kind of their head down, and seemed like we're wiping tears away, he exclaimed. Houston Chronicle reported that the closure followed its reporting about crowding at the facility, and that an adult staffer from HHS, Health and Human Services, had died there Friday in an incident that was unrelated to the transfer of the girls. The girls at the facility have been there since April 1st. So anyway, we will see how that story develops, but again, when you look at the non-reporting on some of the, first of all, the Biden administration's been very locked down about information in the first place. So if you remember, the dean of the U of A journalism school was on, probably it was the last year or so, last year of the Obama administration, and they named that the Obama administration had literally been the worst administration anyone's had to work with journalism-wise in relation to aggression towards journalists, not giving information, being very closed to things that they would get in the past. Why would it be any different right now under Joe Biden and this crew? So again, and then you have idiots like Steller saying there's nothing going on at the border. So as I like to say, there's that old line that Dylan Smith loves to use, but they've turned it on its head. Him, Ninsel, Steller, and the folk, Jill Jordan Spitz at the Star, they are there to comfort the comforted and afflict the afflicted. They flipped it around. It used to be a journalist's job was supposed to be to comfort the, afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. And sad to say, some of these folks, because of their ideology, are now comforting the comfortable and afflicting the afflicted. 6:47 in the morning. You are on Wake Up Tucson. 790-2040 is the phone number. Here is the aforementioned song from Highlander as we started talking about Sean Connery playing a Spanish swordsman with a katana. That's from Japan. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. That Freddy guy could sing.
It's amazing to listen to him sometimes.
Go get the kind of, go listen to the A Kind of Magic album. It's got some stuff from Highlander and stuff that's amazing, and I mean, who wants to live forever is pretty amazing. So, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. It's Christy Simone and you. We have top of the hour. Michael Beatrice, our COVID-19 lockdown guy, is on. National Review just named three best books of the last year of dealing with the COVID crisis, and they actually gave Michael's book, COVID-19 Lockdowns on Trial, a lot of love over the weekend. So, I'm in it, so I agree. So, what an ego on this guy. Now, first and foremost, Tommy actually just said a traffic report that there's a car on fire.
I tried not to smirk about it, but yeah. It's a golf links in cold, by the way.
All right. Thank you very much. So anyway, I'm just saying there's a little bit of a disturbing trend going on out there. That's all I'm saying. Hey, I want to thank Bill Number. Of course, Bill Number 2 has been a valuable contributor to the show, right? World's largest honeypot of money, talking about the U.S. federal budget and how basically, you know, people, well, we know the Democrats love, everyone loves controlling the money, and there's some Republicans out there who don't care how much we blow up budgets and things like that as long as you're controlling and divvying out the money. John McCain was like a poster child for that. So anyway, the other one that was a great one was the Arizona Board of Rodents. And why do we say that? I'm sure they're wonderful people serving their community, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, when the perversion of the free as possible college education has been going on for decades, all right, and the idea that going to the U of A right now costs at minimum $12,000 before you buy a pencil is a little bit of a problem. Okay. Then the amount of these contracts that they, these athletic contracts that they approve, but also approve the payout on some of these things for people that got fired or whatever, is also ridiculous. Look under the, of course, the Rich Rod contract, right? And also even the Sean Miller contract. All right. Now it was way less than the Rich Rod of $1.4 million or whatever we're going to pay this guy. But the reason why he got fired, other than being a miserable guy, is he got us in hot water with the NCAA. When, you know, how many lawyers does the state of Arizona have between the U of A and the state? 142? All right. So just tell Sean Miller to go to hell. You got us in hot water. You want to go sue us for your $1.4 mil? Let's do it. We'll have a disclosure of everything you did in the NCAA report that says why we had to get rid of you. Go for it. Same thing with Rich Rod. I said it for all. We paid that loser, I don't know, several million dollars not to coach. Several. At the same time, Board of Rodents approving tuition increases on kids plus an athletic fee of $100 a semester, which is ridiculous. We're talking about this money, and the kid who never goes to a sporting event is supporting an athletic department that pays out $7 million to a guy who doesn't work. I mean, all you people out in the U of A that want to protest crap and how much you're getting paid, which is $40,000 more than the average Tucsonan, work on this one, for God's sakes. But with Rich Rod, the guy was having an affair while he was on. He was using employees to separate his mistress from his wife on the sidelines. So when you say to Rich Rod, we're firing you, we're not going to pay you a dime. All right, come after us, because what we want, in full disclosure, is we're going to have all the records of you screwing around on your wife while you were on our clock. Let's go. Why don't we do this? So anyway, the Board of Rodents, for the second year in a row, we won't see a tuition hike. Oh. Thank Jesus. This is the time to start cutting tuition. You want to be bold? You wanted. I understand the U of A's got a lot of fat salaries to pay there. I got it. I mean, look at the screaming that went on with a 20% pay cut for 6 months over there. Remember, you're still getting paid $40,000 more than the average Tucsonan for the average salary over there. So cut your crap. I understand you don't want to ruin your fat paychecks. But I'm telling you, the idea that with what's going on in the world, right, and the idea that college kids are seeing more and more how transactional this experience is, and how the whole college experience of, hey, bro, let's sit at the dorm, sit on the mall and read some poetry, bro, isn't what it's all cracked up to be. That's what I love about the universities. They don't have to live in reality. Let's get to a couple of holidays. It's National Car on Fire Day, which is bizarre. That's crazy. I guess the Boston Marathon's going on today. It's Bicycle Day. National Garlic Day. I like that. Oklahoma City Bombing Commemoration Day. And Patriots Day. So when we come back, Michael Beatrice, COVID-19 lockdowns on trial, just named by National Review as three of the best books about the COVID-19 response of the last 12 months. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 the voice.